what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday. I got you.
You got yourself.
Yeah, I got myself. I don't know. Today's Wednesday, not even Friday yet. I got 2 days of life. I just wanted to fly by there.
It would have been easier and quicker just to say, oh, made a mistake.
Made a mistake. Error made.
That's in 43 years of marriage. That's what I learned. The sooner you say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake,
right,
the easier things that go.
Duly noted.
Is it too far to just wake up in the morning and say, I'm sorry I woke up.
I'm sorry.
I want to offer a preemptive sorry for the whole day ahead.
We need preemptive pardons.
Yeah.
So why don't we go ahead and get some preemptive.
That's right.
Apologies.
I'm sorry. Today's Wednesday, December the 11th, 2024. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning.
Fred's microphone working fine?
Yeah, volume's down.
All right.
On your headset.
So I'm sorry.
See, that's perfect.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks. All right. So thank you for joining us, everybody, on the program. And Ed, if folks want to join us on their internet, what can they do there?
Well, they can. What can they do there on the internet?
Yeah. Well, no. How can they go and listen to this show and podcast and all that good high-tech
stuff? Oh, okay.
Stuff?
Well, listen. You start off by going to afr.net. Mm-hmm. If you want to access podcasts, there's a little drop-down menu. It says, oddly enough, podcasts, and you'll see the label for all of our shows that have them, and not all of them are shows that are on the air on our daily schedule. Sandy Rios, who was on air at 7 a.m. For many, many years, has a podcast there. But mm-hmm. The podcasts from our programs are also there. You can watch the live stream of our radio programs at AFR.net. If you'd like to download the app, let's say you're, I don't know, going Christmas shopping this week, just off the top of my head, and you want to take AFR with you, mm-hmm. you can do that. You just download the AFR app, and wherever you are, as long as you have a good signal, you can listen to American Family Radio.
Hey, we got one other thing before we get into the news of the day.
Go.
We got to do the Christmas button announcement. We have Christmas buttons. You can go to resources, that's with an S, resources.afa.net, and you can get green or red Christmas buttons. It's something we've done over the last probably 10 years or more, and we'll have a guest on to talk about this here at the 10:30 mark. But I wanted to go ahead and let people know about it because this is something we do annually, and it's a great opportunity, as you'll hear from our guests, to be a witness. And
yeah.
For introverts, those that aren't necessarily those that like to initiate the conversation, this is a good conversation starter.
Yeah, you wear the button, and someone will say, I like that button. And then you say, then it opens up a conversation.
It does.
You talk about the Lord, you talk about Christmas.
Message
and then
on
you
there.
Give the button to that person. It's a very non-confrontational way, and I like the way you put it, Wesley. If you're kind of an introvert and you're not good at initiating conversations, let the button initiate the conversation for you. So resources.afa.net, $10 for a package of 10. We call them wear them and share them. And there is free standard shipping this week through Friday.
And stay around to 10:30, and with our guests, we'll describe what the buttons look like and give you a little more details.
Because this brother that we're going to be talking to, well, I'll just tell you, Brother Jerry Lawson, who's a pastor in Ackerman, Mississippi, he does this every Christmas
year.
Season and buys hundreds of these
Thousands.
And I was listening this morning. He was on, I think it was on Jenna's program, mm-hmm. and he was sharing about stories about when he's given these away and how much it touches people. So,
amen.
Fred, what's your first story?
First story deals with Daniel Penny. I think most of our audience knows that name, certainly knows his picture. He is the former Marine who was taken to court by the DA in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, because Daniel Penny stopped a man, a rider on the subway there in New York, who was hollering threats of violence against other riders. Alvin Bragg, the Democrat district attorney there, took Daniel Penny to court and charged him with manslaughter and negligence. And he was acquitted on the first charge and found not guilty on the second charge earlier this week. Well, Daniel Penny, he hasn't said much throughout all of this publicly. But last night, Judge Jeanine Pirro of Fox, who covered the trial for Fox, got the exclusive first interview with Daniel Penny. And amongst other things, Daniel Penny said if he had to do this all over again, despite the persecution he has faced from the left, he said he would do it again. Cut number one.
I think this type of thing is very uncomfortable. All this attention and limelight is very uncomfortable. And I would prefer without it. I didn't want any type of attention or praise, and I still don't. Mm-hmm. The guilt I would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, would never be able to live with myself. And I'll take a million court appearances and people calling me names and people hating me just to keep one of those people from getting hurt or killed.
So that was Daniel Penny. You know, he also was asked, this was quite an extensive interview by Judge Jeanine Pirro, but he was also asked about the whole prosecution that he faced. Listen to what he had to say about that. Cut number three.
These public officials would do something so self-serving.
But how does it serve them to hurt you?
Just political gain. I mean, these are their policies that are, and I don't mean to get political. I don't really want to make any enemies, really, although I guess I have already. But I mean, these are their policies that have clearly not worked, that the people, the general population, are not in support of, yet their egos are too big just to admit that they're wrong.
And basically what Daniel Penny is talking about there is the liberal policies of prosecutors like the prosecutor there in New York, Alvin Bragg, who has a record of letting real criminals go.
That's right.
Being very light on them. There was the case, just to give an example, of those Venezuelan migrants who beat up that cop in New York. And they were out within a day, within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Remember, you seen that cop, they were kicking him while he was down.
Yeah.
Those young men were just let go. So what he's talking about there is the political agenda of the DA, Alvin Bragg, there in New York. He says the charges served his political agenda, Alvin Bragg's political agenda. It had nothing to do with justice.
Because the person who died in this struggle, Jordan Neely.
Yes.
Daniel Penny was the one who was trying to subdue him.
Yes.
He had 42 previous arrests.
Yes.
And now, admittedly, this could be an issue also of mental illness, and that's a difficult subject for people.
Did you say four arrests?
42.
42.
Yes. So this guy was an example.
Get a record.
Good example of what Daniel Penny's talking about, the policies of the New York of Manhattan and New York City in general, in a very liberal state, could have contributed to these circumstances.
And the backdrop is Daniel Penny is a white person. Jordan Neely, a black person.
Yes.
The media and Alvin Bragg and others tried to turn this into a race issue.
Yeah, and they didn't try to.
Yeah.
The assistant district attorney who was prosecuting, I forget her name, and she's a white lady.
Yes.
She kept referring to Daniel Penny in talking to the jury as that white guy, that white dude.
Honestly, I do think that may have served to help this type of situation 10 years ago doing that. But we've come so far past everybody. BLM has been exposed.
Yeah.
The general public is looking around going, no, I'm not seeing this. You know, the idea that racism exists in the way that they want it to, or they act like it does.
Yeah.
And so I believe that tends to hurt the situation. Like, if for that person that's using that as their primary issue, I think that took away from the fact that there is a potential manslaughter opportunity, or, you know, case to be made.
Yeah.
When you're making it about black and white.
I agree, because Black Lives Matter afterwards, and we may have, I don't know if we'll have any sound. I think we played some yesterday, but they're demanding a violent response from the community, from the black community.
Not happening.
And nobody's showing up.
Oh, that's some,
and it, no one's doing anything, because you know what? Black people, white people, brown people, toss in whatever color you want, they all feel frightened by what's going on in their city.
Is it not? But when you think of somebody that has race, that's doesn't like somebody of a different ethnicity, usually that person has a history of that.
Right.
You know, they don't just, you know what I mean? But because this was in direct correlation with the person's behavior, meaning that Jordan Neely was trying to attack people and threatened to kill people, because that took place first, any other reason that he would attack is irrelevant. I mean, as far as skin color go, or ethnicity, or background, or religious
views. He wasn't walking around the subways
looking for somebody that had a religious view that was different than his.
And that is exactly what the left has tried to portray this as. Even on The View, that bastion of intellectual brilliance, they were trying to say that this guy, Daniel Penny, is just a killer, you know?
And that's what I'm saying, I believe, undermines any potential legal case that they could have presented.
Right.
Hey, one other thing on this same topic. Before I describe it, do we have any audio on AOC?
Yes, we do.
Can we play it? Here.
Your wish is our command.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. AOC had some comments on the.
What's
on the,
her proper name?
Alexandria Ocasio Cortez.
She's the representative from
New York.
Brooklyn area,
yep.
In New York, the U.S. representative, and so she was responding to the verdict.
Yes,
actually, I think she made these comments after the interview last night on Fox with Daniel Penny.
Okay, of course, Daniel Penny, just to remind you folks, is the Marine in New York, and he was save those people from violence on the subway. But the man that he chokehold died.
Yes.
So he was charged with murder by the Manhattan DA, but he was acquitted.
Yes.
By a jury of his peers, and he's free man. He's a free man now.
Yes.
So go ahead.
If we do not want violence on our subways, and the point of our justice system is a level of accountability to prevent a person who does not have remorse about taking another person's life. I mean, even people who have engaged in manslaughter or have taken a life accidentally express remorse. And so the fact that a person may express no remorse indicates that there's a risk that it may happen again. And if we do not want to unleash that level of violence, then we should exert a level of accountability to prevent that from happening again.
Well, she's talking about Jordan Neely. Oh, no, she's not.
Yeah. Right.
Right? I mean, you listen to the first hour. I got it in quotation, in quote, if we do not want violence on our subways. That's the beginning of her statement.
Right.
That's exactly what Jordan Neely was doing.
Yes.
He was committing violence on the subway.
Right.
And someone stopped violence on the subway.
And he was threatening violence against black people.
Yes.
And brown people and white people. The jury in the Daniel Penny case was made up of white people, black people, and brown people. I have a question for AOC if she was here. Okay, let's say, Alexandria, you're attacked on a New York street. Do you want anybody to help you to take down your attacker? Are you saying...
And do you, you care what color they are?
Yeah. Are you saying you would be offended if someone came to your rescue?
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't say, hey, no, my assailant is black, you're white, take a hike. You wouldn't say that.
Of course not.
And then in that same sentence, the next says, and the point of our justice system is a level of accountability to prevent a person who does not have remorse. Jordan Neely, 42 arrests.
Yes.
He did not have remorse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, my point is she picks up her position after the fact.
And I like your point, and I'll give you a fist bump on that because I hadn't thought about this. If Daniel Penny was this psychotic racist running around.
Grand wizard.
Yes, grand wizard running around putting chokeholds on vulnerable black people. Why did he start with Jordan Neely?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just an excellent point. Yeah. He would have walked onto the subway and just picked somebody.
That's right.
Not wait for someone to get up and threaten everybody.
Right, exactly.
Because he's a racist.
Yes. Well, hey.
Nobody's listening to these idiots anymore.
That's what I'm saying. They're not listening.
They're not listening anymore.
Nope,
this little boy that cried wolf 100 times.
Which is why nobody showed up for the BLM.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, let's point out this is great news. Mm-hmm. For those that support and believe in a good person doing a good deed at the expense of potentially, you know,
he's still got a civil lawsuit.
That's
and
right.
It also has cost him what, a year or two of his life.
At least
in terms of his anonymity,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and his you know,
probably work.
He's you heard him. I don't like all this attention.
Yeah,
and he didn't ask for it.
And two last things, at least for me and. Then, of course, I will stay silent.
You let it go then?
I'll stay silent.
Okay.
First, he said he would do it again because he could not stand by to see people hurt. And that is the warrior's ethos. Mm-hmm. And that is what our men and women who serve this country in the military, that's what they're thinking. I'll never forget, and I may forget it. I saw this meme with... for the Army-Navy game.
Okay.
And it showed the line of scrimmage. And it said, and I forget what it said. It'll come back to me. But I'll never forget it.
That's right.
Except for right now.
Well,
but it's why men and women join the military. That's what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily hate their enemies. They love the people they're protecting.
Terrorism.
The people behind them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second thing I will point out is we do have a story about this, about Daniel Penny's interview with Jeanine Pirro on Fox at American Family News,
yes.
Fred,
yes.
At AFN.net. So check that out.
Yes.
Next story, Fred.
Well, Luigi Mangione, he is the man now charged with the murder of the United Healthcare CEO, which occurred just a week ago today. But now, you know, they tracked this guy down, the suspect, found him at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania. Yesterday, he made a court appearance, but when he was being escorted in, he hollered back to reporters and looked at the cameras. And I want to play a little bit of this, but if you don't quite discern what he's saying, I'll read it out for you. Cut number 5. All right, what we're learning is what he said there, this is completely out of touch and an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experience. What we're finding out about Luigi Mangione is that, for example, he was a fan of the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski. That story. And basically, the picture that we're starting to get of Mangione is that he was frustrated with health insurance companies. We know he suffers from a bad back. I'm not sure of the whole background in there. And that he has perhaps, and he's still a suspect, but perhaps was motivated by a hatred that built up in him with health insurance companies. Now, all of this needs to be determined in a court of law. But the other side of this is that, and we dealt a little bit with this yesterday, is that there are supporters of what he has done. There are people out there. Fox and Friends played a montage of voices this morning of saying what he did was right. There is a point when you can't get what you want, therefore it justifies violence. Fox's Joe Concha talked about this morning, that there is a sickness that is becoming evident in how people are supporting the murder of this UnitedHealth CEO. Cut number four.
Well, I think social media plays a big role, Todd, right? I mean, what we're seeing online and even on television in terms of celebrating this murderer, I mean, it's absolutely sickening. I mean, Brian Thompson, he was a husband. He was a father of two children. Imagine seeing your dad or your husband murdered on video over and over again. I mean, that's something that you live with every day for the rest of your life. I mean, our hearts go out to the entire family of Brian Thompson, who by all accounts was an exceptionally good person, and he's gunned down by this sick person. And what's the reaction? The Saturday Night Live does an entire skit on its news update on it with the audience laughing along. Taylor Lorenz, the journalist, scare quotes, formerly of the New York Times, Washington Post, that we were all told to take so seriously, she's talking about the joy she felt after Thompson was killed. She giggled through an entire interview with her own Piers Morgan, who rightly asked at one point, what's wrong with you that you're laughing over a murder? Look, if you don't like the U.S. healthcare system, go to our future 51st state, go to Canada, and see how quickly you get an emergency surgery after discovering a lump somewhere under government-run healthcare, or see how fast their ER rooms are, right? I know our system isn't perfect. It's far from it, but assassinating CEOs of healthcare companies, that does not advance the conversation, Carly.
Yeah, free Louis.
All right. That was Joe Concha, one of the Fox contributors. You know, it's kind of interesting. I heard an interview this morning with a friend of Mangione from high school. And he said, remember, Mangione comes from a very wealthy family. He went to a private school in Maryland. And one of his classmates was saying, you know, he was a normal guy.
Right.
Something happened between the time he graduated from high school to the incident just a week ago in New York, that he was almost, and we talked about this a little bit before, radicalized by...
Was it at college? I'm not necessarily saying the college is radicalized, but maybe his college experience did.
Yes.
Maybe it was a combination of professors and other students as they talk amongst themselves, but something seems to have changed him.
What did he yell out there again?
I couldn't quite understand.
I can read. This is completely out of touch and an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experience. Apparently, he believes he did right in taking out this insurance company's CEO.
And I would add that the way I understand it too, because I heard that as well, it sounds to me like he's saying that those that don't understand or agree with his extent of his position, which is the murder, that they just don't, they're the sheep. They're just following, and they don't know what's going on.
I guess I would buy that more if he had not run. But he didn't have the conviction of his message to kill the man like he did in cold blood. That's horrible. But he should have just killed the guy and then said, here's why I did it.
Here's my message.
Because this is important.
Right.
Instead, he just hightailed it.
With some cash.
So nobody knew what his message was.
Right.
Until he got caught.
Yeah.
Until he got caught. I knew he was going to get caught, too, because, boy, they had the cameras everywhere. New York, the FBI was involved. Anyway.
Facial recognition. Folks, I did find that meme. I'm so sorry. I'm getting old. I can't remember this. Shows the line of scrimmage, football field, Army versus Navy, and it says, the only game where everyone playing is willing to die for everyone watching.
Ooh.
I just think it's a powerful sentiment to represent what our men and women in the military are willing to do. And that was, I was trying to tie that to Daniel Penny's desire to protect the people on that subway.
And
he's trained as a Marine, so yes. You're saying that's in his DNA.
Yes.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim with Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And again, we, as always, we appreciate you tuning into the program or logging on or downloading or however you get it, however you get the program, today's issues. So, this is the time of year when we start getting gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you hadn't started getting gifts yet?
You mean you're kind of late there. Christmas,
what do you
gifts?
Mean? Yeah. Well,
Christmas started in July this year. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
I know what you're getting at.
So we started getting these gifts into American Family Association here, American Family. I get these boxes.
People send food.
That's what I'm saying is.
And I bless whoever you are.
No, they send the we have friends and associates and partners and so forth, and so we get about 10 or 12 or 15 probably people sending us the gift boxes or whatever, like
baskets.
I just want to say though, they're listening, and you know who you are. The person that sends the popcorn, I haven't gotten mine yet, so I won't next week I may call you out by name.
Well, Tony Perkins, you know, the president of Family Research Council,
he and
his wife, well, they send the pralines, the candied pralines,
caramel.
If I don't get those every year,
I'll
mention it on the radio.
Yeah, I
don't
just
care.
Did.
Huh?
Yeah, and listen,
Perkins
we,
family,
up in our,
they
in,
to,
in our
I'm
kitchens,
not expecting them.
We have food everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why people put on 5 pounds in 2 weeks. All this food here, food, sweets.
Well, personally, I just walk by it and.
What kind of self-discipline do you employ?
Excellent.
Christmas? Are you?
Excellent.
Yeah. You can. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's get on the scales in 2 weeks and see how that works out.
But back to your point, this is the time of year giving gifts, and we give gifts.
Right. We like to get more than we give, but. Wait a minute. I don't think that's...
That's not it.
That's
not
what the
Bible
says. It. No. Okay. Right.
There is
better
something.
To give
I see what you're driving at.
It's better
there
to
is
to
something
receive.
That you can wear and share, give away, that is about the real meaning of Christmas.
It has nothing to do with food.
Which is not food driven. And I'm talking about our AFA Christmas buttons. If you go to... resources.afa.net, everything above the fold, that's what we used to say about newspapers, is all Christmas related, and you can click, you'll see the Christmas buttons, and we have a Christmas button special, 20 buttons for $10, and this week there is free shipping, and these buttons one is red. It says, Jesus, he came for you. Merry Christmas. The other one, green, says Jesus, our living hope. Merry Christmas. And we have someone on our show today who is the button guy, Brother Jerry Lawson. Is that Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church Enon. In Ackerman?
Enon.
Enon. We've had you on, I think, every year to talk about it because this is a ministry that you have engaged in. And this, I was listening when you were on Jenna Ellis this morning. This touches people's lives. First of all, welcome, Brother Lawson, and back to the program. And tell us why this is a simple way of engaging people about the meaning of Christmas.
Well, I tell you, we have enjoyed passing out these Christmas buttons down through the years, and we've gotten a lot of blessings and joy out of giving these buttons to other people. Today, I brought the blue series of buttons that we had years ago, and people look at these buttons and they say, is that the new button this year? And I said, no, we've got red ones and we've got green ones, but I have got the whole series of buttons. I don't know in the archives if we keep any of those buttons out of the past. Or
We probably have some scattered ones.
We got one at least. We got at least one of each.
And we have the designs, but I don't think they're available because there's not enough
remaining. That means the price has gone up. Price has gone up because they're rare.
They're rare.
We trade them like baseball cards.
They're limited.
I tell you what, I was offered $50 last week for this button right here. That is a popular button.
We have to come back to that next year, the year after. You know, what we're talking about, folks, let me just set the backdrop here for just a minute. About 20 years ago, 25 years ago or so, we began to notice, and many of you listening to us now begin to notice in our culture, pop culture, entertainment, advertising, that the word Christmas was being left out of the Christmas season celebration. And the secularist in our society, the so-called progressives, they didn't like the idea of a holiday celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ exclusively, so they wanted to just get rid of that. Now, some of you may not believe what I'm saying. That's all right. I'm just telling you the truth, people.
Yeah.
This is how it happened.
It is true. This was true.
They wanted to get rid of Christmas because it exalted it was exclusive, okay? So how do you do that? Well, you change everything to holiday. You replace the word Christmas with holiday. That's one thing. Or the winter, or schools begin to say, instead of Christmas break, it's the winter break, okay? So you change words, you change phrases, you remove you remove Jesus manger scenes from City Hall. You replace it with Santa Claus or Frosty, you know, which has nothing to do. It does have something to do with Christmas, but it has nothing to do with the real meaning of the holiday, which we celebrate. So we at American Family Association, American Family Radio, and our supporters, such as Brother Jerry, decided, you know, we're going to, as Jerry said this morning on Jenna's show, push back against that.
Yeah. Keep Christ in Christmas.
Keep Christ in Christmas. Keep Christmas special in America.
And you enjoy all the other holidays. When we get to those, if you got another holiday that you appreciate and enjoy, but don't hijack this one.
One of the things, and let me just toss this in. One of the things we first noticed was, I'm not going to name them because we were successful in pressuring this company.
Right.
To change their policy. But they were selling holiday trees.
That's right.
Which is absurd on its face.
They changed it.
Yes, they changed it. And we had pictures outside. Big banner, holiday trees. And you look and you go, those are Christmas trees.
Yes.
And the thing was, they were wanting to cash in on Christmas.
Yes.
But they did not want to honor the Christ that's in Christmas.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. So one of the ways we decided to fight back and to keep Christ in Christmas, keep Christmas special in America, was with the Christmas button campaign. It was my dad's idea. Mm-hmm. And it was an idea that goes on even today. That's why we have Brother Jerry Lawson in the studio, because like Jerry, there are many of you out there who have ordered these Christmas buttons every year, and you continue to give them away, and they're a way to be a Christian witness, to people that you come in contact with. Jerry, you were talking this morning with Jenna. You said just this morning you were wearing your button. You walked into, what, a coffee shop or something, or a convenience
Dodge
store?
Store over there in front of the Walmart.
Oh, the Dodge is down here? The convenience store.
Well, what happened when you – this is a great story.
Well, when I walked in, the lady said, "Sir, how are you doing?" Of course, I'm going to tell people, if I was doing any better, I'd be in heaven with Jesus right now. 68 degrees up there today. And I said, "Can I give you something?" And she said, "Sure." So I pulled one of the buttons out, the red button, out of my pocket,
yeah,
and handed it to her. And, I mean, it thrilled her. She wanted to jump across the counter and hug me and all. But anyway, before I left out of there, every employee in the Dobbs store wanted a button, and they put it on immediately. So you can go in at the Dodge store over there right now if you want to see, yeah, what the button looks like.
Could you tell the story?
Let me tell people how they can order, and then you can get to that story because there may be people having to leave us. So we have a red button. We have a green button, and you can go and look at them and order them today and share them. They are $10. Let's see. So they're free shipping. And here's the way to go look at them. Go to resources with an S, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. They're very inexpensive. I don't know. What do we charge, Gary?
Well, it's I think it's a pack of red and a pack of green. So it's 20 buttons for $10, and it's free shipping the rest of this week.
So 50 cents a button. And these are nice buttons. They really are. They have great graphics on there. One of them, the red one, says, "Jesus, he came for you." And it shows the baby in a manger, and it says, "Merry Christmas." The green one, which I'm wearing right now, says, "Jesus, our living hope. Merry Christmas." So, again, go to resources.afa.net and order the buttons. You said they come in what now? How many packs?
I think it's 10 of each. This is a Christmas special, 20 buttons for $10.
Okay. What were you going to say, Jerry? Go ahead.
The story I wanted you to tell was about, and you told it this morning, about a young lady who, it seemed like it was in a coffee shop or a Waffle House or something, who you walked in and she was wearing a hat and was staring at your button. Do you remember that story?
Yes, that was last week. I went into a restaurant, and I had sat down with my food, and I noticed a young lady with Down syndrome was just looking at me, and then realized she was looking at the button. She had a cap on that had Jesus on it. It was red. She had on a green sweater, and I thought, well, one of these red buttons would look real good on that green sweater. So I got up and walked over, and I asked her parents, would you mind if I give her one of these buttons? And it just thrilled them. And I gave the button to her, and then she stood up and just grabbed me, and I lost it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, as they were leaving, they came over and said, "We want to thank you again. And do you have two more buttons? Because we'd like." And so I gave each one of them.
And, of course, you didn't have any more buttons because you never go around with any.
Right, right.
I'm asked, do you have any more buttons? Maybe 250 right now.
Front pockets, well, back pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Fanny pack.
That just thrilled your heart right there when that young lady with Down syndrome and her parents got excited. Also, you've been to Branson lately? You go to Branson quite often, don't you?
I was up there the first week of November. I always go up there for Veterans Day. And we passed out about 500 buttons up there, my wife and I.
Wow. Yeah, y'all covered Branson over the years with your trips up there and handing out the Christmas buttons.
Columbus Wassail Fest. They're always looking for American Family Radio buttons. I have a lot of the wonderful memories over there.
Can I just tell a little Christmas button story?
Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. Now, I tell this, you know, when people say they're going to tell on themselves. When Brother Don first came to the journal department, he came. Which I worked in at the time. My office was right next to Rusty Benson, who did our graphics for the magazine, the layout. And that's why he came, because he wanted to talk to Rusty about his button idea. Okay, and he said, "Ed, come on in here. I want to ask you guys something." And he lays out this idea for a Christmas button. And I hadn't seen anyone wearing a button probably since the election of 1968, where we were all wearing, you know, either Nixon or Hubert Humphrey buttons. And so he said, what do you think of that idea? And I was just being honest. I said, well, Brother Don, I don't think anybody wears buttons anymore. I doubt this will catch on. Okay. And so Brother Don, he said, well, thank you for your opinion, but I think they will, because Brother Don had a vision and he was going for it. And lo and behold, we did those buttons and we sold 1 million buttons that year.
Yeah.
It was, and the whole time I'm sitting here at the beginning of it, I was thinking, the old fella, he's not going to pull this one off. And then he did. And it was just like, you just need to shut your mouth because the guy knows what he's doing.
Well, listen, thanks, Jerry, for coming up and being with us. I know you drove an hour and a half or so to be with us today. And by the way, are you still pastoring?
Well, been there 58 years, been at Enon for 28 years, and
you've been
until
pastoring.
The Lord retires me out, I guess I'll be in the pulpit.
You've been pastoring for 58 years?
I was 14 years old when the Lord called me into the ministry,
wow.
And I stepped in the pulpit.
What do you call what's the equivalent of a deacon in a Presbyterian church?
Well, a deacon's a financial officer. We have elders, according to Acts chapter 6.
So you have 50 years of elder stories. That you could, and
elders,
you can,
elder
meetings. 72, I guess. I've got 72 elder stories.
Yeah, you can go ahead right now. Just start naming names if you want to. Jerry, and it's time for them to
put on that Christmas button.
Yeah, I'm just teasing.
Every pastor is going to have those kinds of stories.
Have an elder deacon memories?
Yes.
Yes.
Business meetings.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of people in the pews have stories.
God surrounded me with a bunch of wonderful men, so I appreciate it.
Good for you.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. What's the website, Ed?
It's resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. Folks, remember, this is free shipping this week only. Of course, we are getting on in the month, but there are the sale is 20 Christmas buttons. I'm guessing that is a bag of 10 red and a bag of 10 green, but you may be able to just say, no, I want 2 packs of red, and I'm sure they'll make that happen for $10 and then free shipping.
You need to order today so we can get them out to you so you'll have a week to wear them.
Yes, right. And share them, as wear Brother them. Lawson does.
That's right. Wear them and share them. All right, Fred, next story.
All right, well, I came into work this morning, and I was absolutely shocked by this headline that I'm going to read for you. Absolutely shocked.
Shocked, okay.
The headline, the largest immigration surge in U.S. history. You may say, wait a minute now.
Fox News?
You guys have been talking about the surge at the southern border for the last 3 years. Fox News has been talking about it. Well, what shocked me was the source of this headline. Folks, it was the New York Times. One of the most left-wing, liberal, pro-democratic, pro-Joe Biden newspapers in the country. But this is it. They have been working on this story, and they have an extensive story, the New York Times this morning, which verifies, which confirms everything that we have been saying about what's going on the southern border and who is to blame. All right? Now, they break this story down, and I want to read you some of the sub-headlines in here. The immigration surge since 2021, which is when Joe Biden came into office, has been the largest in U.S. history. And so we're talking about, and they supply...
Oh, they got some nice graphs. I've seen this.
Yes. Here's one of the graphs. They go back to 1850s. In 1850s, 190,000 net immigrants per year. From 2020 to 2023 per year, 2 million coming across our southern border.
Per year.
Yes. Listen to this. This is the New York Times. Fifth headline. More than half of net migration since 2021 has been among people who entered the country illegally. All right. Six, the unprecedented scale of recent immigration helps explain why the issue played such a big role in the 2024 election. The polls show that after the economy, what has been going on our southern border is why people voted Joe Biden out.
Yep.
So we got to, this is a bit of a part of a, this story, I believe, is part of a revolution that's going on in the left-wing media since this election campaign.
Wait a second. You're saying all this has been going on in our southern border? Why didn't anyone have the courage to say something about this? Oh, that's right. We did.
Yes.
Wesley, and you were leading the charge,
yeah.
Brother.
Yeah. For about 6 months prior to the election, I was sensing, I was believing that out of all the issues, the number one issue was going to be, that is, number one issue for getting people out to vote for President Trump, President-elect Trump now, was going to be the illegal immigration. And the reason for that is because it helped when they started sending the illegal immigration, illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, the surge at the border, when they were putting them on buses and they were transporting them to these, quote, sanctuary cities. At that point, the effect of what was taking place at the southern border now was taking place across the country. And then you had in that moment, in that season, those 6 months leading up the election, every month you were having a new far left representative in some capacity, mayor, governor. They were coming out in New York and Colorado and California saying, what are we supposed to do with these people?
Yes.
How are we supposed to handle it? They were at odds with their own camp on the number one issue.
Yes.
And so I was seeing that six, seven, 8 months out, and I was like, this is going to be the issue that affects all Americans at the highest level.
And the first person I heard recommend that as kind of a solution to getting everyone else aware of what's going on the border was this guy right here, Tim Miles.
Yeah,
he was the first one that I heard, and I thought, wow, that's a great idea. And then you started seeing governors of some states do that.
That's
Florida.
Right.
They were listening.
Yeah, they were tuned in. I'll never forget when Martha's Vineyard over there off Cape Cod in Massachusetts got their plane load delivered.
That was courtesy of Governor DeSantis, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And they were like, what's going on?
Just to relieve some of this even more, they were also taking these illegal immigrants and they were taking schools, and they were pausing schools in New York City,
yes,
and using the schools to house them. And then, of course, one of the other stories that came about in the last month or two leading up to the election was the gangs. Was it in Colorado?
Colorado. Yes. Aurora.
Venezuelan gangs.
Yes.
Taking over.
Breaking into apartments.
Just a few of them, though.
And remember taking that? Over the apartment building.
Yeah.
And veterans who were being put up in were homeless, being put up in hotels in New York, getting kicked out. So they could put
all that to say, New York Times is covering this into great detail with great charts now. Why do you think that is, Fred?
I believe, and we have seen this, and perhaps Steve is going to talk about this a little bit more. CNN has lost dramatically viewers. MSNBC.
I don't know if those two are going to make it.
They had a layoff. CNN had to lay off 5% of their staff in the last couple of weeks.
Yes. New York Times and the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. The LA Times, Washington Post refused to endorse anybody for the election. I'll tell you what's going on.
Probably the first time in what, forever?
Yeah. I mean, the mainstream media, which has endorsed the Democratic Party and Joe Biden over the last 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. What has happened is they've lost customers. They're losing money like you would not believe. And that's why all of a sudden they're saying maybe Fox has a pretty good idea. Maybe we ought to have both sides of the story.
There you go, both sides, yeah.
Because I think that's what the American people want. The American people are pretty smart. They just want to know, okay, what's person A saying? What's person B saying? And then I'll figure it out for myself.
But you know what? To Tim's point, I'm not sure these left-wing media outlets are going to make it. I was reading an awful lot of blowback against the Washington Post. This was on X, admittedly. There's a lot of conservatives on there. But I've seen a lot of lefties on there, too, saying, when the Washington Post refused to endorse Kamala Harris, I got rid of my subscription. I canceled.
Uh-huh.
all these left-wing people say, I'll never go back to the Washington Post. So the Washington Post hemorrhaging conservatives for a decade. Maybe longer. And now they're losing lefties. And so you just – plus, let's not forget.
That's the good nature, news.
The nature of how people get their news is changing.
Yes.
And so
– I get mine off the TikTok tick. Have you guys heard about this?
I get mine off tic-tac-toe. Is that where you get yours?
Time for a coffee break. You sound like me.
Did you say toc-tick?
Yeah, it's a pretty handy little tool there. Yeah.
This could be a handy little tool.
You have to dance a little bit
before you get your news.
If you have a response, you need to do a little two-step or something.
Yeah,
and it has to be like in 17 seconds, I think.
Is that the limit on?
I don't know. It's short. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, I had a serious point,
but you know,
just hold it. Too late. 5 minutes.
No.
Okay.
You'll remember.
Well, you know what?
I'll forget.
The big news is, and you know. I guess I'm more optimistic now than I have been in a long time in terms of the culture and the government, and still got a lot going on and still a lot of bad ideas and bad
a lot of wins too.
Characters to fight.
Bad actors.
However, I will say this.
Getting tired of winning.
The liberal news media is dying.
Yes.
Yes.
I think they're dying because they're – mainly a bunch of liars.
Yeah. Their
liberal politics aside, they're dishonest.
Elon freed the bird too. Twitter.
Yeah. Yep.
Helps.
Yep. So, you know, CNN, MSNBC, they may not be around another 3 to 6 months. We'll be back more with more.
That's a shame.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.